DLGaming.net presents the Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Anders Logic.
I'm so balls deep in Binding of Isaac right now. Binding of Isaac. It's time for golf with friends.
Flopsy.
You didn't want to talk about we need to go deeper?
Your host, Robert Digital.
It's very large.
And Smoochie.
As a black male, it is not safe for me to play Pokemon Go.
Now, turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode. I'm Bobby.
This is Chi.
I'm the toenail clipping that flies away from you and then you can't find it.
That's disgusting.
It happens, though.
But and then you know completely that relatable because I do that every single podcast.
Yep, for sure. Wait, every podcast?
No, not every podcast, but I'm always like picking at my... this is awful, isn't it? Admitting to this? Come on, you guys see me pick at my toenails all the time.
Are pieces of your toenail coming off and you're losing those? Or you're losing what's underneath the nail?
Ask the crevices of Bobby's couch.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I'm kidding.
No, she's not, though. she's feeling like she went too far.
The thing is, like, I think your girlfriend and I, we have the same hair color. I wonder if she's ever found, like, remnants of me and was like, who is this? What is this smell? What is this random toenail clipping hanging around?
I did call her Chi once.
Wait, no, not your girlfriend. Oh. Bobby's girlfriend. Oh, we're in Bobby's place.
Oh.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know. She's got black hair, too.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I've got friends with long hair. Well, no, he cut it, so, yeah.
Girls are so attuned to finding other people's hair.
They really are.
It's crazy.
I look out for it. That's like the, that's all telling.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. CSI when it comes to other bitches.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, we got some new Patreons we want to thank this week. Justin and Nate. No way we can fuck those names up.
Nope, that one's easy.
Justin is a
Shadow Master. I'm not sure who Nate is, but I'm sure we'll find out.
Awesome.
I used to have a roommate named Justin, and he actually streamed on Justin TV. And he was a at-home, stay-at-home programmer. He lived in his room. My favorite roommate ever. But my nickname for him was Yastin. Yastin. I don't know why. So,
yeah, the best roommates are the ones you never see.
We would hang out when we wanted to hang out, and he was really cool.
People keep asking me if I'm missing Chad, but it's like I didn't see the guy much anyway. You know, Sundays is usually when we would hang out the most. So, kind of the same.
Well, it looks like you had another roommate move in.
A little munchkin. That fucking is 3 feet tall and hovers over you when you're sleeping because she's thirsty. And then you wake up and she's like, Mommy. And you're like, God damn it. Fuck. Or like I'll be up gaming late.
She's adorable.
And she'll just be standing next to me watching me game. This is at 1 a.m. And then I turn to like, because you feel that thing. And there's just like a face there. Oh, my God. It's so scary.
Oh.
I'm not used to it.
That's why I live alone. So the only problem with that is if I like trip and fall, like if I go down, there's like, you know, hopefully someone can hear me if I yell loud enough, but
dude, it's impossible.
I saw a Life Alert commercial the other day, got me thinking.
It's impossible for you to fuck yourself up enough to not be able to move or find your phone. There's no way.
I don't know. Maybe it'd have to be a series of accidents.
Yeah. Like O.J. Simpson in Naked Gun.
Yeah.
Remember that scene?
All right, so thank you very much to the Patreons. We are renovating our shop pretty soon. We're going to have a lot of options there for, first of all, new designs. I think we're going to do more than one this time. And also, we are finally going to have stickers. Not only that, but we're going to have those designs on whatever the hell you want. Mugs, laptop cases,
iPhone cases.
Windows Defenders popping up. But yeah, we're going to have lots of options. So new store is happening pretty soon here. We're looking at another week or two for that. So we will let you know when that goes live.
It's awesome because like I always wanted like a mug for, I need a new mug and might as well have our logo on it.
Yeah, and, I'd be very interested in a sticker too.
Tons more options now.
Yeah.
So as far as t-shirts go, I know there's a few people that probably had their payment go through their first payment on Patreon that I haven't got a t-shirt on to you yet. Please hit me up on DL Gaming, on Discord, I mean. There is probably some overlap that I'm going to miss or whatever when we do the switchover. So I just want to make sure everybody is up and getting what they deserve.
All right. Cool, cool. Let's move on to On the Radar. So we each found a game that we were interested in that came out recently or is coming out. And who wants to go first?
So the idea that I had for this was we each find the game that you would buy, and then we're going to present them and then try to see if we can convince the other person to buy that game instead. Not that we're actually going to buy it, but...
If
we would, yes. So I guess I'll start off. Nex Machina, which I'm not a huge fan of the name. But the animation style is fucking super sweet. Not that that's what the game is about. It's actually a twin stick shooter in the vein of Smash TV or Robotron. But the graphics are ridiculous and super over the top. Kind of reminds me a lot of Android Cactus Assault, something like that.
Yeah, those are all words in the title.
Yeah, Android Assault Cactus or something like that.
Yeah.
But it seems even more fun and more over the top. You're running around as a little guy, which is cool because usually, yeah, you're a robot or you're a fucking spaceship or something like that. This is actually a guy in a suit and just makes it a little more, I don't know, compelling to me. And just the graphics, the music, over the top, but the ratings are really good. It's very positive on Steam. And
is it multiplayer?
It's got to be, right? Let's see.
Local yep.
co-op, shared split screen. So oh, only local really cool. co-op.
So it has to be right next to you. And so there's like five or six publications that gave it a 90. And it's very positive on Steam. So, well, there you go.
The trailer for it, it's actual animation. And it looked like, you know, a Tron, like a teenager in the Tron world that looked really neat. And then the top-down twin-stick shooter. It's a more vibrant and colorful version of the game that I played with what did I play recently? How did I already forget the name? It's a twin stick shooter with the alien species. You travel to different planets and something with an H, I believe.
The four player co-op one?
Yeah, the four player co-op.
The one that's super tactical.
Yeah.
And the first one that
God damn it.
First game that Sony ever published. What was the name of that?
Yeah, I don't know. You put in different key combinations to call down crates?
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I forget.
Yes, what
it's
a good
like
game.
Something.
No.
What an amazing game. I don't know the title right off the top of my head, but this is what this game looks like, except in a more futuristic world. It looks like a lot of fun.
Imukule, look up first Sony game on Steam.
All right.
Or bring up something.
But it wasn't the first Sony game on Steam. It was the first one that they actually released on Steam. So it's kind of confusing the way that worked out. But I don't even think I have that game yet. But I remember when it came out, I was interested. It was hard, though. That's a very difficult game, and I wish we could remember the name of it. All right, next up, I guess I'll go here. The Caribbean Sail. I know it sounds terrible. Stay with me.
Is it Caribbean or Caribbean?
Caribbean, Pirates of the Caribbean, Pirates of the Caribbean. I think you can say it either way.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
They both sound good.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with Caribbean for this one.
Okay.
But this is a
oh my God.
Oregon Trail lookalike.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, and it looks like they really kept it close to the original Oregon Trail. So it says an 8-bit adventure about crossing the Atlantic, like an aquatic Oregon Trail.
There
if
you
will.
Go.
And it looks like they even have the mini games that were always my favorite part, the hunting in Oregon Trail. I love that part. But they've got a little mini game where you're trying to harpoon some fish here that are popping up.
I feel like I've been waiting years and years for something like this. Obviously not really. This is a great way to relive Oregon Trail, but not the actual game itself.
Yeah. Well, there was the Oregon Trail. Oregon spelt like a body organ.
That's the zombie version.
Yeah, the zombie version.
Oh, I didn't know about that game.
It wasn't very good.
Oh, it wasn't good?
I mean, it was all right. It was all right, I thought.
I don't remember the reviews being very good, but I don't remember.
Do you get to name your crewmates in this game? Because that was half the fun.
What?
Naming your crewmates and seeing what happens
yeah,
to
and
them.
Then they die of dysentery.
Yeah.
Then you get to write something on the gravestone.
Exactly.
Yeah. If you're going to play a game like that, it looks like poop to me. If you're going to play a game like this, play Death Road to Canada, in my opinion.
But then
I think that was recently on Humble Bundle, by the way.
Yeah.
Really good price on that. But, I mean, the graphics do look like this on purpose. It's supposed to
emulate
that whole MS-DOS kind of...
I get it. Still doesn't make it look good.
Oh, my gosh.
Could be a good game.
Yeah,
there.
It definitely doesn't look as good as Next Machina, for sure.
Yeah. Well, let me bring up Oregon Trail here. I want to... I remember this
I doubt
being,
that's on. Oh, you mean Oregon Trail.
Yeah. There was an Oregon Trail, too, that released, I think, sometime in the 90s. But Oregon Trail, yeah, I mean, fairly decent reviews. And the hunting looks very similar. A lot of things about this game were very... It was almost like a remake of Oregon Trail.
Okay, very interesting.
Yeah, super cheap.
Do you own it, Bobby?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll play
it. Yeah, I
do. All right, and then for my game, this one's a this one was on my Steam store page, recommended to me. And I'm pretty sure the reason why they recommend this game to me is because I used to let my nephew play Spore on my account. This is a genetic survival game called Niche. It's actually a turn-based game where you start off as a crossbreed and you try to basically... the purpose of the game is to survive and... mate. Of course it's mate, but it's a breed.
Or fuck.
Sorry. Yeah. To basically breed different generations of your own species and to cross create. And it's actually based on real genetics. So you're not going to, so there's like certain subtleties that will change about these fox, cat, bear, dog like creatures, but then nothing like completely out of what is seemingly realistic. Like Spore was where you were like, you started as basically like a cell and then you transformed into who knows what things. The great thing about this game is that it's got amazing reviews. It was recently launched September 15, and it's not a game that's just built for children. This is a game that can also, I feel like Spore was more catered to a younger crowd. This one here, I feel like it's the adult version of the game, but without actual like rated R tags. With this one here, so there's over 100 genes. And it's a procedurally generated world, so it's got some roguelike elements to it. And what it is that you are trying to reproduce and create basically your ideal population. And to survive the real world that has an ever-changing climate, and there's hazards in regards to weather, sickness.
Predators probably.
And it's just about, what's the word? Flourishing.
Yeah.
As
your species.
Your species. So I think it's basically it's since if you've ever played Spore, it was definitely inspired by that game. But I think it has some different strategic elements, and it's not as casual as Spore. I feel like there's more. Mm-hmm. It's obviously turn based, so there's more more strategy involved.
In case you're wondering who we're talking to time to time, we're also live streaming this to our Discord channel. If you don't know how to get there, go to dlgaming.net and you can click on our Discord. And the reason we do this right now, Emu Killer, is everything that we say, he's putting links up. So when you listen to the podcast, if you're at a computer, you can actually go to our Discord and relive the podcast pretty much live, or it feels like it's live, because you have links to every single thing that we talk about.
Yeah.
All right. Helldivers, that's what it's called.
Helldivers was the game we couldn't remember, the Sony game.
Yeah.
That is very reminiscent.
No thanks to you, Emo Killer, on that one.
All right. So anybody changing their mind about their game? I think I'm happy with mine. I mean, for $4.90, or it's on sale for $4.50, the Caribbean sale. So
that seems steep to me.
$20 for Next Machina, though, another twin stick shooter.
Yeah, it's a little high.
Yeah, so Amelia's game is the highest in price. Mine's on sale right now, bringing it down to $16.19. It's 10% off its $17.99 price tag. I feel like out of all the games, they're all pretty casual. You know, pick up and play, and then like whether you play it for 30 minutes or an hour, I feel like you're going to get a good experience off of it. Realistically, though, I like my game, and I would buy it if, you know, playing a game with my nephew was still relevant.
Yeah.
But as for like how much I want to spend for quality of game, I would go with Bobby's game, the Caribbean Sale.
Damn it.
Yeah, so Bobby wins this round.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm sticking with my game.
Gotta go with bastards.
I do like Next Machina looks great, but for $19.99,
it's a bit steep.
I'm sorry, I'm going with the DOS looking game.
All right. Well, one more game, honorable mention, I suppose. Cuphead I think that was released on console a while ago, but it is now on Steam, or will be on September 29th.
Yeah, we talked about it, but I don't remember much about it.
We talked about it a little bit when it was first announced, and I know I was really excited about it just because of the art style. It's got that like 1920s or 30s like animation style, like Steamboat Willie, the first Mickey Mouse cartoon.
Big eyes, big boots.
Yeah, and I hear this game is very, very challenging. It's like a platformer. Probably co-op, yeah, local co-op.
And then it's a run and gun, and I feel like not only is the artwork very nostalgic, but I imagine just the overall playability of the game. Like when platformers were really challenging and you found yourself dying over and over and over, and you expected to die repeatedly. And I feel like this is going to be the game that's going to bring you back to that nostalgic feeling of being challenged when playing a video game.
Super sweet artwork. I think that's the biggest selling point here.
Oh, yeah.
I saw a video on why cartoons wear gloves. Do you guys know about all this?
No. Okay. Tell me.
It is because they're black, right? So, like, they're black skin, like Mickey Mouse and the cats and all the early cartoons. They're all black. So when you put a black hand in front of a black chest, it disappears.
Oh.
So they put gloves on them. But why are they black? The reason that they're black is because they were inspired by vaudeville. And in vaudeville, they were doing blackface at the time. And blackface was really popular, like a white guy putting black skin on or whatever. And then that translated into, not skin, but ink. And then that translated into, oh, well, if vaudeville is doing really well with the blackface, then it should naturally transfer into cartoons. And the reason that all the early cartoons are black is because they was inspired by vaudeville blackface. So there you go.
That's interesting history. Thank you for sharing. I never knew.
I'll be here all week.
But no, I know Cuphead. I bet you anything one of us is going to purchase
for sure.
This game,
yeah.
Try it out.
It'll be Bobby.
I think, yeah. I'll probably pick that one up.
Let's do it. I'm almost down for co-op. You know that.
Yeah. All right. Unfortunately, it's only local co-op on that, I think it said.
Oh, like it's so hard for us to sit on a couch and play next to each other.
It's never happened. It happens for like...
It happened just before you got here, Emilio. Bobby and I were doing some loco co-op on the couch.
Loco co-op.
Did I call it loco?
It's like loco. Local, but it's crazy. Fucking crazy.
You know, that's actually my nickname. My mom doesn't call me by my first name. She calls me loco, even though that's the male way to say crazy.
Right.
She's Asian. Mm-hmm. So once she learned that loco means crazy in Spanish, she was all about it. That's
Where
the only word she could just, a male crazy person is what my mom calls me.
I feel like she made the connection and just looked around somewhere to apply it. And she were the first one. You're like, loco. And that's it.
Yeah.
And there it stuck. And loco was born. The legend of loco.
All right, let's talk about some games we have been playing. So, obviously, we're going to be talking a lot about Divinity 2. I think we should just get the other shit out of the way right now.
Let's do it.
All right.
Can we talk about the loco co-op we just did, Bobby?
Yeah, let's do that. It seems like a natural segue. So, we played a little bit, very little, of Corgi Warlock, which, shout out to Shadow Master. Thanks for grabbing that for me. You know, that's part of the deal here. If you get a game for us, we will play it.
Over $5.
We will play it? No, that's over-promising, maybe potentially under-delivering.
Yeah, I mean, you played the fidget spinner game, so the over $5 thing I don't think applies.
I didn't look at the price.
No.
I was actually...
Okay, that make up for Bobby. That make up for Emilio.
Okay.
If you buy me a shitty game, I will just leave it in my library. I will not touch that.
So there you go.
If it's like a dollar game, we will spend... at least 15 minutes on it. How about that?
How about
no,
1 minute?
No,
you
no,
get
no,
1 minute
no.
per dollar.
All right. So
we'll
this
see
was,
you guys.
This was a platformer game, just a pretty basic platformer game with an animated art style that immediately when I saw it, I was like, oh, that looks pretty good.
Yeah.
And we talked about last week how an art style can, at least for me, keep me playing a game to a certain extent. So
or draw you to initially play the game.
Yeah. Like Cuphead. I don't even know how that's going
like
to play.
People are going to buy that on the looks alone.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, going off of that, I was kind of interested in this game. When we got to playing it, it seemed a little basic, a little fundamental for a platformer. Now, granted, we aren't very far in it. She and I were doing a little local co-op. You know, you got your basic abilities and you Leveling
and you unlock
and new
abilities
items.
As you go, which is kind of cool.
But I really did like the art style for a few reasons. Number one, Emilio said it right as he walked in, and that was the first thing that struck me. This character looks like Courage the Cowardly Dog, which is an old, I guess it's old. No, it's not Nickelodeon.
Cartoon
it's Cartoon Network,
guys.
Yeah, and it's not even that old, but it looks just like him. He's got that terrified look on his face. And my parents have a corgi, and I am not a dog person, but I really like my parents' corgi. Like, this dog is so cool. It's very upbeat. It's like Mr. Peanut Butter from BoJack Horseman, if you guys watch that show. Like, that's this dog's personality, and I think a lot of corgis are like that.
So you went into this game bias.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they sold me on the corgi.
Speaking of like artwork and how it draws you in or don't, Sam watches BoJack Horseman, and I can't do it. Like, the art is so bad. Out of all the animation shows, it probably has the worst art.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's shoddily put together.
It doesn't, I don't know, it doesn't seem that bad to me.
Yeah.
One of them has to be the worst. That's the worst.
There's much worse animation out there than that.
Yeah.
Oh, popular
that's
shows.
Not like,
popular
that's not shows. Like the thing that draws you to that show. Like, that show is funny for a lot of other reasons. I always like shows about, like, Hollywood and, you know, behind-the-scenes movies, and that shit's all about that stuff. So that's
imagine
why I enjoy.
BoJack is a lot like the real-world animated show. What was it called again? Where they had, like, that Pikachu and...
Dude, that was so funny. Drawn Together.
Drawn Together, exactly. Mm-hmm. So I imagine BoJack is like that. BoJack is actually on my series to watch. And I do look forward to, like, watching BoJack eventually, so I know what you guys are talking
that
about.
That shit was so... That Drawn Together was so funny.
It was hilarious.
It was,
I imagine
it was supposed
this kind
to be,
of follows suit with what that is.
The real world with cartoon characters from different genres.
But I think it only worked because the real world was, like, really popular back
at the
then.
Time,
the reality TVs, and it's hard to go back to
That's
that.
Adam Carolla and Jimmy Kimmel. That's one of their shows.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, my review of Corgi Warlock, basically it's a 99-cent game. For me, I could have easily played it for free. It reminded me of a lot of, like, the games I played on Newgrounds, like when before Steam really existed, I was on newgrounds.com.
Like a flash game.
Yeah, it was very the controls were very basic. Even if you had different abilities, there was no, like, sequence to the fighting. I felt like it was forward shooting, jump, forward shooting, and then, like, nothing really came behind you. There was no, like, there were no, like where Super Mario, at least you could jump on somebody.
Yeah.
And, you know, and, like, this is the most basic of platform games here, Super Mario. You jump on a mushroom, you kill it. You boop a fireball at it, you kill it. But this one here, it's like you're doing fireball, you're doing lightning, but it's in one direction. You even have an ultimate.
Is boop
it's not very
a verb?
It's for Lucio. Boop.
Boop. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when you boop somebody off a corner, a ledge.
Yeah, when you push them with your sound wave.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the same
no
thing.
Idea. Had no idea to this right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, welcome to booping.
Yeah.
well, anyways, so Corgi Warlock for me, started it with Bobby, and then I even died once just because I wasn't trying very hard. But, oh, and the weird thing about it, the mechanics.
Excuse
for
us.
I couldn't. So Bobby was player one. I was player two. I couldn't actually go into doors or pick up things. Bobby had to do it. So it was just basically extra firepower.
Yeah,
and then for every new zone we went into, I had to reload myself into the game. So it was like my
sounds
character
like
just
a 99 cent game.
It could be free. I wouldn't pay to play it, but
there's your review right there.
I'm sorry. For me, it's like, it's one of those games where it's like, yeah, I get it. It's a game, nice artwork, very basic. But like I said, I was playing these games when I was 12 years old on Newgrounds. Like, there's so much more out there that I would rather spend my time playing.
There was a game. This reminds me of a game that I played. I don't think it's available on Steam anymore. It's called Powerpuff Girls, The Defenders of Townsville. And I played all the way through it, even though the game was very basic and there wasn't a whole lot to it. It was like a platformer, but you could fly. And I still ended up playing all the way through it just because it was Powerpuff Girls and, you know, Cartoon Network and all that. I'm a sucker for those old those old
You're a sucker
TV
for Powerpuff
shows.
Girls, eh?
It's a yeah. great. I love that
this,
show.
This Halloween. This Halloween.
Mojo Jojo.
I do love Powerpuff Girls, too. This Halloween, I think I'm going to be Sailor Mars, and I'm trying to convince the other girls at my bar to be the different Sailor Moon girls.
Know what they, don't they all wear the same shit?
They do wear the same shit, but they're different colors.
Oh, okay.
Sailors.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they sail through the stars.
It's the only reason why they wear sailor uniforms. I think that's what, like, they're not actual sailors, but they all have sailor uniforms. That's why they're called the Sailor
We have all
girls.
These fucking reboots. We can't get a reboot of Powerpuff Girls? It's fucking ridiculous.
Like a proper reboot?
Yeah, or like a proper reboot.
Yeah.
Is this what...
You're talking about a game or a show?
Either. Anything.
I'd rather see like a Dexter's Lab.
Ooh, the big
maybe one. A cow and chicken game. Anyway, let's not go down that path. We'll be there for a while. I wanted to give a quick update. So last year I talked about, I say last year, but I'm talking about last school year. That's how I think in terms Jesus. Of years. But I told you guys about that club, that lunch club.
Yeah, where
the kids come in,
they're watching sports, all that shit. Well, I'm explaining for new listeners.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah. So
I'm like, yeah, Bobby, we all know.
So what I did last year is I had some kids approach me and they wanted to start a lunch club. A lunch club's a great way for kids to like hang out with like-minded students and, you know, especially sixth graders that haven't really like fit into the middle school environment yet. It's good for them to meet and make friends. So I started a lunch club where we watch esports. We rotate like Counter-Strike, League of Legends, all that other shit. But I started it again this year. School year just started. Kids talked to me again about doing it, said, all right, fine, thinking, well, we'll see how it goes, you know. So now I've got like 40 kids at least crammed in my office during lunch on Fridays.
Damn.
To watch esports. Surprisingly, these
were... How big of a screen is this happening on?
I use a projector.
Okay.
And I mounted it on the ceiling now in my office because I couldn't set it up the other way.
You're running out of space?
I'm telling you, nerds are cool now. Yeah,
dude, you're going to have to move to the auditorium soon.
Yeah, I think we got like three girls. I'm not sure about one. I'm not sure if it's a boy or a girl yet, but, you know, it's hard to tell at that age sometimes.
Call it...
Would I say, I wish I had this back in the day, Sensei, because or is it Senpai? No, it's Sensei. Teacher is Sensei. So, no, we didn't have anything like this. Yeah. If there was like a Counter-Strike sports, not esports club at my school, I'd be all about it. I'd be like the one girl.
Oh, there is that one
actually,
girl.
And I would convince, no, it'd be the one girl and the girlfriends that had crushes on the other boys that play Counter-Strike.
Would show up.
Back in the day, I used to have actual 5v5 scrims in my basement. We used to hold LANs.
It's hardcore, man.
Yeah, I know. Like, I'm really big on it. Before LAN centers really existed, all of my friends, not my friends, mostly my brother's friends.
Most people were making out in the basements.
Yeah, we were doing 5v5s, 1.6 or 1.5. And there was one girl, one of my girlfriends, would come over to my house and play Counter-Strike. And she was actually not bad, but she played it only because we both had a crush on the same guy. Yeah. And he would come over to my house and scrim Counter-Strike. So it was her excuse
to play
after school hours, to hang out with him after school hours. I mean, so that's how I get other girls to play video games with me.
I think there's a ton of girls that pretend to like football for the same reason.
Oh, yeah. It's like, I was busy.
Bobby, if you ever do it in the auditorium, can you please spell it O-D-D-torium? Auditorium? Odd? Because it's odd people. Never mind. All right, let's go.
That's a stretch.
Nerds are cool. Stop.
All right. Who wants to go next?
I will. I've been playing PUBG all week. I had more free time this week.
I'm actually surprised, and I saw that on the friends list. I'm like, Emilio's on PUBG? Why isn't he on Divinity?
I don't know why I'm being I don't know. I'm being a little hesitant with original. There's nothing wrong with it. It's definitely soup. Maybe I'm... Bobby and I played so much of part one that I don't want to jump right into two.
Well, you know, if you start playing it, then you're in it for a long
time. I'm not there. Yeah, exactly.
You're going to be in, yeah.
I know. Okay.
You're afraid to commit.
As soon as I shoot up this heroin, I'm going to be a junkie. I know it. So let me just hold off before I shoot up. That's all. So I've been playing a lot of PUBG. A fucking ton. Especially for me. I got two or three chicken dinners this week, which is really cool. I did one solo. It was a lot of fun. I got 8 kills, which is the most I've ever, like, I've gotten, you know, 10 kills or whatever, but I've never done 8 kills and win. That was, like, really special for me. The one thing that was crazy on that game was I was hastily looting, and I actually ended up with 2 sniper rifles. I had the AWM, which is from the supply drop. It's the best gun in the game, probably.
God gun in the game.
Yeah, it's a god gun. And I had my backup to that, what I didn't know this, was the Kar 98, which is the lowest end sniper rifle. So I had a sniper rifle with a sniper rifle in as backup, and I did that as an accident. It should have been an assault rifle, but I left it on some guy's carcass. And this guy runs up to me, scares me, so I switch to my fast shooting weapon, which is not there anymore.
The Kar?
Yeah. And I thought it was an assault rifle. So I pull out the Kar and hip fire it and get a headshot, no scope, just with the Kar 98 on my
awesome.
Hip. Yeah, not on purpose.
And
I thought it was an assault rifle. So I'm just holding down the button.
And then he fell on the bayonet, and that was the first ever PUBG bayonet kill.
Yes.
Very impressive.
Exactly what happened.
Very impressive.
It does have a bayonet, huh?
Isn't it? It doesn't, no.
Oh, it should.
No, I'm just kidding. But that's kind of cool.
And the second one was with Mr. F and Sweet. The best thing that happened in that game was I ran over a guy and his partner just happened to be right behind him. So I got 2 kills, and that was half of the kills I got that game, just driving through this forest. That was super fun.
Yeah.
The Mini 14 is the new sniper rifle. Think of it as an SKS. That shoots 5.56. Is that what it is? 5.52, I think. 5.56, sorry. And it's just a fent. It's almost too good. They're probably going to have to nerf it or something. This gun is ridiculous.
Is it only found in crates or is it
no,
kind of like...
No, that's the thing. It's common. Like,
oh.
It's like M16 common. So, like, at the end of the game, it's just, like, a bunch of Mini 14s going up against each other. So something, I think, has to change. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it's not as common as I think, but I feel like I find one every game. Either I have a find one or kill somebody who has one.
Yeah.
And so they're kind of everywhere, and they're a little too strong, I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like an SKS without the rarity of the SKS.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
No, I think it's great that you're playing PUBG. And especially with a couple of the new patches coming out, I, of course, and Bobby and I feel like we're going to be, like you said, you're right. We are completely enthralled with Divinity, I'm sure. And I have a lot to talk about in regards to that. But it's refreshing to hear, like, updates, because I'm still interested in, like, listening to your PUBG story. I'm still interested. It's not old news, and that's a good sign for a game like this, because other games are losing their audience to PUBG, and for good reason. It's still, to this day, it's been out for so long, and people are still very much as interested in playing it as before.
I'm
so
glad,
that's good.
I'm glad that I entertain you, Chi.
Right? By the way, you did stream it? Somebody just posted one of your Twitch clips.
I did some streams.
Okay, yeah. Awesome. How many times did you stream this week?
Probably 2 or 3.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I missed them.
So,
how do we find your stream? It's
digital on.
It's dlgaming.net spelled out.
Yeah. No dot. It's not an actual period.
We have the most DOT. Confusing web addresses and links.
Yeah. You know what? The best way to really know if any one of us is streaming is, I guess, of course, on Discord, it'll show if anybody's streaming a game.
Yeah.
So just direct links through that, too, is probably how you can keep up to date with us on stream.
Yeah. And I have both you guys set on auto host, too. So if you go to my channel, then whoever is hosting, it'll forward you to them.
Yeah. You guys are definitely on my priority auto host list as well.
This is not game related, but I had a fucking scorpion in my house today. The weirdest thing about it was I noticed it on the ceiling when I was drinking my coffee this morning, and its tail was caught.
Sorry, I got the chills just listening to this.
The smoke detector.
Yeah.
So what had happened, I would imagine, was it was in the rafters above, in between the wall, the ceiling and the neck, and then it crawled out through the hole where the thing is, the smoke detector, and its tail got stuck on something.
Oh, so it was actually trapped. It wasn't
trapped,
like free
but
roaming
I know this,
in your home.
For sure. So I sprayed it with Raid.
Ew.
And it starts to convulse, right? Because it's like, and it's scratching. It's using its claws to scratch the ceiling. And Sam and I are watching it. That she's freaked the fuck out.
I'm freaking out right now. Just imagining this.
She's on a stool, and you can hear it scratching the ceiling.
Oh my gosh!
Snap, snap. Struggling to stay alive, but still stuck in there. And then
I doubt Raid would kill a scorpion. I mean, their carapace too, but is it like did die. Super.
Raid's pretty strong.
Yeah, 4 minutes later, it died after a lot of like weird sounds and
after you tortured it to death.
Yeah, pretty
basically.
Much. And then I went up to grab it. There's pictures on Discord if you want to see. It wasn't huge, but those are the ones you have to worry about. It was translucent too. So
yeah, he showed me a picture. You should post it.
See that one, Emu, that you just put the big black giant scary looking ones. I ate two of those in Thailand. There's nothing to fear about them, I guess. But the little ones, they put in a lot of venom and they can fuck you up. And we have a little kid in the house now, so Sam was super scared. So anyway, I put a glove on once it finally died, and I pulled it out. And I was thinking that like its tail would be relevant to the size of its body, but the tail just kept coming and coming and coming, and it was like.
Sorry,
three times of its
like
length, three fourths of its length was its tail. It was like no
wonder.
We
always see the tail curled up,
yeah.
So it looks smaller than when you spread
yeah,
it out.
I think that's exactly what it is.
Mm. No, it's definitely a horrifying like picture, and I'll repost it on Discord. And then I also have had a scorpion experience too, but my scorpion was, I imagine, smaller than yours, and it was actually a black scorpion. Mm. My scorpion was in my bathroom. I'm blind as a bat. I wear glasses or contacts if I want to see more than, you know, half a foot in front of me. And so I just got out of the shower. I was drying my hair in front of the sink, and when I looked through the mirror, I saw a little black blob like behind me on the wall. Yeah. I'm looking at the mirror. I'm like, what? I was like, okay, that's different. What's that blob? So I turned my face around and literally like inches away, staring a black scorpion on my wall from my face. And I freaked the fuck out, go running naked, grab my ex-boyfriend at the time, you know, my boyfriend at the time, tell him there's a scorpion in the bathroom. Yeah. And it's weird because oddly enough, as like, even though I was in the bathroom, just took a shower, I didn't use that bathroom shower. I used a different bathroom shower.
Yeah.
The bathroom shower that had my closet in it, I never used.
Yeah.
So my assumption is the scorpion crawled up the drain because I never used that shower. I used it more as like a walk-in closet, that bathroom. And so, and then it was just hanging out in my bathroom because, you know, for who knows how long, but it was on the wall.
Drains, but maybe, I don't know much about.
House? I mean, it was on the second floor. Anyways, he didn't raid it to death. He actually released it. He took a cup and he put it in the cup and he released it back into the wild.
Nah, fuck that. You gotta go. You gotta go, bro.
Yeah.
Gross.
Well, scorpions are my spirit animal because I am a Scorpio.
All right. Enough bug tales here. Just a little update on Heroes of the Storm. I've finally been getting back into this game after just playing so much Divinity. I've been trying to get back into it so I don't get worse at it. And the last time I was playing it, I was just spamming quick match, one character, playing Zagara and winning a lot of games. And then I stopped doing that, still played quick match, and just had so many terrible experiences.
With the pros?
You know, I've been running into some of them here and there, but no interesting stories like last week. But I've just had the worst luck playing in quick match. The thing that people don't understand about quick match, because they don't have that mode in a lot of other MOBAs, you pick a character, you go into the game, and then it just throws you in there with a bunch of other random characters. So you're pretty much going to win or lose right at the
loading
screen.
You guys don't actually see your team comp before you go in? Is
no,
that
you
what
don't.
You're telling
you
me?
You pick the character you want to play, and boom, you're in. The
That's
nice
really
thing about
weird.
This,
is yeah. there is there some type of script that, like, if you pick support, they're going to ideally give you, like, ADC and maybe one or two support in the team at most, or is it just randomized?
They have rules built in. To help them be a little even, but still, like, their characters have counters. So a lot of times, right when the screen's loading up and you see who's on what team, you can tell right away, oh, we're on this map, they have these characters, we have these ones.
The better They're comp wins.
Win. Yeah, and I've just been having such a terrible run of luck that I got so fed up, I started playing just a bunch of Hero League ranked play, and I have just been having such a better time in that. I've been playing on a different account. And
I feel like you say this a lot.
Constantly. Yeah, I know. The reason I play Quick Match, and like all my complaints are all my fault because I choose to play Quick Match.
Yeah.
But why?
So many more
games.
Yeah,
personally, I wouldn't even want to queue for Quick Match.
Yeah. Well, you got to understand, you're in a game within a minute, and you don't have to go through the draft phase. Compare that to ranked, you're going to be in queue for maybe 3 minutes, then you go through draft, which is another 3 minutes.
But what's you know... What's,
I can see a Quick Match.
You don't get to play the character that you want to play.
Oh, well, what's a six-minute wait compared to a 30-minute game that you don't even... That you, from the get-go, wouldn't even want
to start? I can see one or two Quick Matches to warm up, but then that's it.
Yeah.
And well, then why are you getting...
Ranked is stressful, too.
Yeah, why are you getting emotionally involved in Quick Match?
Wait, so it's only Quick Match and ranked? Isn't there a way you
could... No, there's unranked, ranked, Quick Match, and then, of course, they have the Brawl mode.
Okay.
And versus AI. There's other modes.
So why not play more unranked versus Quick Match?
Because the draft takes a long time, the queue's a little bit longer. And yeah, I don't know. I should play more unranked, but, you know, sometimes I just want to play a specific character. And I don't want to have to be like, oh, shit, I got to support this game.
To accommodate others.
Team needs. Yeah. So, I don't know. I really should, and I try to force myself to play ranked, but hopefully that trend will continue this week. All right. Before we talk about Divinity Original Sin 2, we should mention what happened with Original Sin 1. So, Emilio and I, we tried to finish this game. We were at the door of the Source Temple, and we're like, okay, we got about an hour left. We're poking around trying to figure out how to get inside there. We eventually figure that out. Oh, we forgot to pick up something off this dead dude that we killed a little while ago. We grabbed that. Fortunately, we had Mini Del Macho on comms, and we were talking to him because we were going through the source.
Who's an expert?
Yeah.
He beat the game 14 times?
Yeah. And he said, okay, to get through this next part, you're going to need to have all your star stones. And we're like, oh.
Like, what's the star stone?
Star stone.
Like, I remember having one at some time.
Yeah. So I figured this is why I kind of have a problem with the game, and I was a little upset about it. Like, I keep my inventory very clean. Like, I keep my inbox for my email very clean. I've got one email in there right now. It's like my to-do list. I keep a lot of things very clean.
My brother is just like that.
Clutter. So obviously in Divinity, if I don't need it, I'm selling it and it's not in my inventory. So these star stones, I was completely unaware that you actually needed to save these to get past a point in the Source Temple. So we were stuck. We could either spend like the next couple hours trying to search around and... Hold on, we're having a Discord problem here. Let me try to reset this. But I could either spend... All right, there we go. We'll try that out. Authenticating. Sorry if you're listening to this on the podcast.
We could time this and cut it, most likely.
Let's talk about butts to fill the time.
All right, we'll fix that, but I'm going to keep talking. Emilio, you want to tell them what happened?
Yeah, so we're about to finish the game, and so he knew every part of the cave that we were in. We're like, isn't there this? He's like, oh, no, you're going to want to walk to...
This guy really knew this game.
But anyway, so we needed these star stones, and we had... Okay, Bobby's taking some of the blame here, but it's probably me. Like,
I was in charge of, like, all the...
Stuff.
The boring stuff.
Yeah, and I sold our shovel... Probably four times in the game.
Yeah.
Because I'm like Bobby.
Bad Amelia.
I don't have any emails either. Like,
it
I like to really.
So many times. Yeah. Like, we found a mound that we had to dig up, and we're like, where'd the shovel go? We just bought one.
You know what? You know what I say about that, guys? Not only do you have quite a large inventory for your own character, but you also have your whole other character's inventory.
Mm-hmm. Not for us on this one. Remember, we did the...
Oh, you're low wolves. Yeah,
but still,
but
still. They're pretty much bottomless. Inventory space is not an issue. I just don't like a lot of clutter.
Yeah, me neither.
That's just me.
But on the up, like, what you can kind of say, Bobby, in their defense, is a lot of this game is, well, if it would happen in real life, it can happen here.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of games will not let you sell quest items. This game don't give a fuck. and you have to go back and find that person that you sold it to, and hopefully they have it. And if they don't have it, maybe this the game's broken.
This game also lets you, if you for some reason don't want to buy something, you could just kill the shop owner and loot it off their dead body. Mm. Or you could sell all of your items to one person you know you're going to kill, and then get all those items back and make like double them, like, you know, make double the money.
You could steal things and then sell them back to them.
That's part of the game. That's what they're going for with it. So I totally respect that. But the whole Starstone thing, like, I was like, oh shit, and we're ruined. Like, we couldn't finish the game, pretty much. We gave up. We're just like, well, close enough.
Hey Minnie, do you know that do you know if you can kill like entire towns? I guess you could, right?
Of course. You could kill everybody. I think
you could kill everyone. The Bloodstones we hung on to.
We should do that, Bobby. Just go back in there, save that save file, and just kill everybody in the world.
Just murder. Just
murder and see what happens.
And that's how the game ends?
Because it's ruined anyway. Actually, I deleted it.
That's what Max wanted to do. He said,
just kill everyone.
We beat the game, but then he tells me, no, we did not, because we didn't go back and kill everybody in Sisil. I am not finished with the game until we like mass murder everyone.
Even the cheese vendor.
Huh?
No, not him. He's the only one.
I'm not
He's the
like only that, survivor. Though. When it comes to RPGs, I like being the good guy. Like,
well, most RPGs don't even give you the option.
They if one person crosses me, they're dead. Yeah, whatever. But overall, mass murder is not on my agenda when it comes to role-playing games.
That is the most like democratic way ever to make an emperor. You just kill everybody else that you don't like and just leave the cheese right there. And you'll be like, you can tell me what to do, sir. That's it. You just made an empire.
You know, speaking about the shovel issue, though, there...
I'm sorry, man. Fuck.
No, in Divinity 2, problem's a little solved because if you have a dragon character, they can use their claws to dig things up. Oh. So you don't need a shovel.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and then undead can pick lock things.
Pick locks with their bony fingers.
Use an undead character, So, yeah, I don't think we'll ever go back to the original Divinity Sin, Original Sin Enhanced Edition.
There's a new cheese vendor.
Oh, you think?
Cheese vendor
you don't think they would have brought back the cheese vendor?
I didn't know. Is there?
Anyways.
I don't know. We'll have to
look. Are we officially transitioning?
I have more on this next week.
Yeah. Are we officially
back to your cheese vendor news.
Yeah, let's talk about Divinity 2.
Let's do it. So so with Divinity 2, can I make some talk about my notes on it?
Sure.
So with Divinity 2, I actually played 4-player co-op, and I was looking forward to this since I've been playing at co-op all along, but this time now with 4 players. I played with my boyfriend Max, local co-op, and then my 2 brothers. They both have their own game, and they're playing on their computers, playing with us as well. There are pros and cons to 4-player local co-op, but overall, with my experience, I can say that I love it. It's probably the only way I want to play the game now. Realistically, it's not going to be that way, considering the conflicting schedules.
Right.
But it's the best way I've played the game.
Who hosted the game?
Originally, my brother hosted the game, and you could still quick save, and he can quick load, so that doesn't change, but only the host can do that.
Right.
And then as the host, you can control how many slots are available, and then also as well, whether or not you want to keep it open to friends only.
Oh, right.
Complete randoms.
Yeah.
Or direct connect as well. So he just invited me through Steam into his game. And the great thing about it is that we started a whole new game save together. So all 4 of us got to create the characters we wanted.
Right, yeah.
So originally we went with 2 custom characters, 2 origin characters. And it was a tank. I was a Hydro Summoner. My big brother was a Ranger, and then we had another melee. I would almost call him like a Berserker class.
Yeah.
And it actually, the synergy with that originally was really good. Since then, we've re-rolled twice.
Oh,
so we've
wow.
changed the hosting, the
Why?
Dynamic. It's because it's 4 people involved.
Yeah.
Someone's going to be unhappy.
Yeah, right.
And once you get off a starter island, you get a respec completely. But then we realize that this guy can't be the host because this person doesn't want us to play without them. And it's just one of those things where it's like, you know, if you're playing with that many
people, you and Max have your own game.
Yeah. Now we've decided that I'm going to be the host.
Yeah.
And basically, I feel like I'm only going to be able to progress the game if I'm playing with Max, of course.
Right.
And then my brothers are going to jump in and out whenever we're playing our main hosted game. But that's the thing. It's like, there are pros to playing with so many people and working around the schedule conflict. It's a lot more fun, in my opinion. It's very social. Not only do you have like the fun dialogue in the game itself with all the different tags and all the different scenarios and consequences, but then just listening to your friends' reactions, seeing how your friends play the game. Like, my brother is just like Bobby, where he likes to sell everything. I'm like, hey, do you have this or that? He's like, oh, no, I sold it. Or like my brother, I also found out he likes to kill anyone that isn't relative to the main storyline. And I don't like to kill people. Like, unless they're actually aggroing me, that's when I'll kill them. But he just likes to kill randoms for extra EXP. Mm. Like, and not as, they're not story driven NPCs, but they're still, like, you know, non aggressive NPCs. Yeah. And for me, that bothered me a little bit. So there was some yelling back and forth, but it didn't, but then that's like any real life scenario, right? And what I loved about 4-player co-op, it played as flawlessly as any other co-op as well. They were on mouse and keyboard, Max and I were on controller, and I actually switched over to mouse and keyboard just to see the difference. Mm. And so I'll talk about that a little bit too. So I would say the main pros, it's that, you know, it's flawless in terms of like playability and like the smoothness of playing with extra people. It's less stress in combat because
all these things.
Yeah, I don't have to manage more than one character. I'll play my turn.
And you can think
quickly
about your next turn
It goes by very quickly, and I can trust the people that I'm playing to, you know, do well, if not better than what I might have done.
Right.
And it's definitely more fun, and it's a very social way to play the game beyond what the game
Emo Killer is playing with his friends. Was it Emo Killer? I think so, right? And he's put in, like, I think over a 3-day weekend, they put in 40 hours.
That's 40 awesome. Hours. And I believe it, actually. And this is one of the games where I say, I love how recommending a game can snowball, and this is a game that did it. One of my core gamers that I haven't played games with in a while, he reached out to me. He saw I was playing Divinity 2. He goes, hey, is that game fun? Should I pick it up? And I go, hey, without a doubt, this game is 11 out of 10. You know, you have to play it, and you have to play it co-op. And then within the day, I noticed he bought the game, and then within 24 hours, he convinced 3 other of my old-timer core gamers to buy the game. And now he's not playing with me, but he's playing with his own set of friends just through one recommendation.
This is almost like when D&D originally came out. I feel like people are getting together and fucking, this is basically D&D, but without all the dice rolling and all that shit.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's bringing people together and they're having fun together. That's how big this is.
Yeah.
As far as Metacritic, so Breath of the Wild has a 97. Divinity Originally 2 has a 94. And that's the two highest games in 2017. There's a few other, Mario or Horizon Zero Dawn, Nier Automata. But yeah, this is number 2 right now. Yeah. God, that Legend of Zelda must be good.
And then, like, no, this game's great. This, without a doubt, I'm pretty sure it's going to be my game of the year. But there were some cons to playing this game with 4 players. First off, we re-rolled probably 3 times. Yeah. We have 3 separate hosts, 3 separate game saves. And the reason why is because I'm more tenured. Every character I made, every re-roll, I was completely happy finishing the game with. But there were, but my brothers were brand new to the game.
Oh.
So they were trying out different things. They would be frustrated and not necessarily enough to cut the game off and stop pursuing it. But they would want to re-roll to kind of like start out fresh and on a clean slate and on a momentum that
they
wanted.
And they're new to Divinity, too.
They're so brand new to Divinity.
And we all did that on Divinity 1. We all re-rolled a bunch of times.
The littlest things were freaking them out. They were having such a fun time, and they're more hooked onto the game than I am, I feel like, right now. And I'm happy to see it. I'm really happy
to see it. How
exciting,
right?
The only, and outside of the schedule conflicts, of course, clean run-throughs is what is what's concerning me. Like clean slate run-throughs, where somebody's not re-experiencing something. So I feel like with 4 players, somebody's going to play ahead, and then they're almost like that. What happened with Diablo? Everybody's just reliving, you know, the storyline, at least one person out of the group, and there's maybe one newbie who's fresh face to
it. So they want to, some people want to actually listen to everything, and some people just want to burn through it.
Yeah, and not only that, people, you know, it's basically like replaying the story, but in somebody, it kind of kills the like shock and awe, yeah, awe factor, yeah, if someone's played the game over three times, yeah, and then playing with you.
Yeah.
And then not only that, when I did host my online game, I forgot to set it to friends only or invite only, and I did get an uninvited guest.
Did you kick him?
Huh?
An option to kick?
There was an option to kick, thankfully, but I couldn't do it soon enough before he absolutely sabotaged my game. So there are trolls out there. Lo and behold, that's new. But anyways, came in the game, spent all my combat points in areas that did not make sense, went around killing, causing trouble. And
well, you had a save you could go back to, though,
but,
right?
No, but that's the thing. By the time I realized
he was up to mischief,
I was like, okay, we got a quick load. This is so shitty. It was like 2 hours back.
Hats off so to learned, Mr. Troll guy. That's a pretty good troll, actually.
And it was ridiculous because my big brother dropped out of the game, so I was controlling the extra character. And then when I realized I didn't have control of him, I was like, oh my gosh, is big brother back? And he didn't say anything. But no, he basically just went in and sabotaged the game. Fair warning,
also,
guys. Do not keep it open to the public.
Also, it's your own fault.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It really is. But I honestly thought I said it.
It's like going out in public in buttless chaps. There's no protection. Just saying.
You speak it like it's from experience.
Might be. Might.
And then, like, I know I've been talking forever about Divinity 2, but I love this game, guys. I did mention that I switched over to keyboard and mouse. I switched over to keyboard and mouse after only playing the first game with controller. And I would say, like, I am still going to play and finish the game in controller, but there are definitely some things that keyboard and mouse did better. What I would say keyboard and mouse did better is basically you get to view. You don't get to do this on controller. You get to look at your party members, see what they're doing, and click on that area of the map that they're in, and it'll auto-run you to that area. With controller, there's no way to do that. You're confined within the screen that you're in. And then with inventory, you actually get to see your full party's inventory on one screen, whereas with controller, you're not able to do that at all. So when it comes to inventory and equipment, like, there's actually a really easy, you know, for me, it's a big deal, the helmet button, like helmet on, helmet off. Like, that was a big deal. You can't do that on controller. There's no way to take off your helmet on controller that I discovered. And, of course, hotbar and combat is significantly better on keyboard and mouse. But when it comes to controller, the things that I felt were better on controller was overall movement and camera control. Like, I wish Divinity moved like World of Warcraft, where you have like WASD as your movement keys, and then you could like move the camera around and click on things. It'd be much better for me to like feel more relaxed, like moving around the map and not getting stuck on a corner. I died by a shrieker when I was on mouse and keyboard because I just couldn't see her. I had no idea. And then but then with controller, it's a little bit easier for that. And looting on controller significantly is better. So trading and looting is better for me on controller, because on controller I don't have to move all things to the center to barter. I could just simply sell a single item without having to push more than one button.
Why wouldn't they put that in the other one? I've never liked that part.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird. And then with looting on controller, you could there's a way to, if you hold down L, you can see items on the map, kind of like in Diablo, but there's no toggle for it on keyboard. On controller, it's simply a toggle. So I can perpetually leave it on to where I can see every single item. I don't miss a beat. With my playing with my brothers on mouse and keyboard, they leave so many things behind. Whereas me on controller, I loot everything and anything. Bobby would hate my backpack. And then with looting on controller, there's also an area of effect for looting. So if I'm close to a lot of items, instead of clicking on every single item individually, I don't know if keyboard has a way to do this, but with controller, once I do an area of effect loot, it'll open up a menu where I could just like in WoW, where like everything in close vicinity shows up on this tab, and I could see what it is, take it all, or take what I want and leave the rest
behind. That's pretty nice.
Yeah. So for that, for looting alone, that's the only reason why I'm sticking to controller. It's so much easier.
There might be options in the settings to assign those to keys, I'm wondering. I know they'd leave edge panning off by default, which is kind of weird to me, but Yeah, I don't know. I'm too bad with a controller to really consider using that. So how far into the game are you?
For me, I got a little bit past the, what they call it, tutorial island, but I'm already restarting, for my third time. And it's funny because the first Divinity, you guys were talking about how you guys constantly wanted to reroll.
Yeah.
I did not reroll once on the first Divinity, whereas for this one, because it's I'm trying to please, or four people, people in a group are trying to be like...
Maybe it's time somebody just takes control and be like, no, this is it.
Yeah, but...
Because otherwise...
Yeah, that's right. So, and that's what's happening now. So it's all about synergy.
Oh, this game is much shorter than the last 45 hours.
Yeah. I'm at the end of Fort Joy. You get onto a boat and then you
there are multiple ways to get out, by the way. The boat is not the only answer. But
Yeah, Bobby.
I figured it was. Once you leave that area, they close off a bunch of quests. They archive them. So I feel like I should have done more of those for XP because I feel a little underleveled for this fight that happens on the boat. Like, it's a very difficult fight. It's all physical damage, too. So
What's your team comp again?
My team comp that I'm doing is, let's see, I've got a warrior with two-handed weapons, and I got a rogue, a mage, and then a guy that's just like a healer. Yeah. And it's tough because it starts you out split up, first of all. So my healer has leadership, so he gives a buff to everybody else around there. And he starts out on the other side of the boat, so that gets no value right off the bat. Not only that, but I'm about... What happened was I was level 6 on the boat, right on the corner of hitting level 7. So I went around, murdered a couple people, got a little bit of XP, and then hit 7. And then I tried
doing
the
fight. Like cold-blood murder or like actual provoked fights?
No, there was a guy where I think you can either fight him or not, and he's kind of a dick to you. And I didn't fight him because I just don't kill anybody in case they're part of a quest line. I don't want to ruin that. But I needed the XP, so I just went back and killed him and was able to hit level 7. But still, the guys that I'm fighting are level 8. So... I'm still having trouble with it. I don't even know if I need to win this fight or if I just need to hold him off long enough for this.
He's saying right here, just around Melody to keep her alive.
Melody.
Yeah, you just got to hold him off. And that's kind of what I've been trying to do. I came really close on my last try, and it's tough because they all just bum rush her. They all go right towards her and start hitting her. And, you know, I try to use like telekinesis and throw them away or try to blind them and just do all these things. And, I don't know. It's a difficult fight, but I think I'm getting close to it.
I love that these fights are difficult, though. I can tell you, like, almost every beginning of any fight, it's quick save, and it's like, hey, how do we make this work? Since we've re-rolled three different times, I like some playthroughs are a lot tougher than other ones, even though it's like the very beginning fights, just because of how the team comp is. It's so essential that you have a really good team comp.
And Mini Del Macho is going to be making a dungeon for us to go through. So next week we'll get back to you on
that. I would have a review on that, but I realized it was mouse and keyboard only, which is like not a bad thing at all. It's just that I didn't have the opportunity to have enough keyboards in my setup to play that.
Which is so weird, too.
Like, why did they let us play the main game with controller and then not
I don't get
master
it.
Mode? Yeah, that is a little strange.
There must be a reason behind it. All right. Well, we've got a lot of listener questions, so we want to save some time for that. So let's get into the news.
So PUBG execs not happy with Epic's new Battle Royale game. It's interesting because, like, when you first read it, you're like, oh, okay, they're obviously mad that somebody's copying them. But they said they have no problem with anybody copying them. They weren't the first Battle Royale game. There won't be the last. They just happen to be the runaway success story of it. It's a pretty basic thing. 100 players go in, one person survives. He's like, there's no issues there. The issue is that Epic owns the engine that they use for PUBG. And so there was a lot of back and forth between them and Epic about certain questions. How do we do this? How do we do that? Can you put this into the engine? We need this. So kind of like Epic knows what's going on under the hood of PUBG by default because they've been in so much communication with them, and they pay them huge royalty percentage on all of the money that they make because they're using their engine. And then Epic goes and makes their own Battle Royale game that is very similar to PUBG and has a lot of the same under-the-hood type stuff. So did they go and program their own shit, or did they just take everything that PUBG had done? And on top of that, they're concerned that they might put more things into the engine to support these types of games and not tell Bluehole about it, which is the PUBG developer. So does that make any sense? Like, they might do things to support the Battle Royale in Fortnite that and just not and keep that away from Bluehole. So they just said they didn't have a problem with it, but they should have at least consulted them, since they're making so much money for them for all the royalties that they're paying. And they feel kind of shafted by the whole thing. I tend to agree with them. I think they're being a little, maybe a little paranoid about the whole, you know, them not sharing any developments to the engine for Battle Royale. But I can definitely see them, there being a conflict of interest between, you know, them talking to them on a regular basis, developing and modifying their engine for the Battle Royale, and just taking all of that and making their own game without all the work. So what do you guys think? Do you think Fortnite and Epic is in the wrong here, or do you think PUBG?
I don't know. I think enough people are playing PUBG right now that they're just going to be committed to that game. But I understand where they're coming from with this. It's like, if PUBG goes over to Epic and says, hey, we really want to do this in our game, could you put this in the engine? And they're like, yeah, that's a great idea. And then they take that idea and put it in Fortnite.
Right.
Then, yeah, I mean, that sounds like so many other like business deals. Business is shady, man.
It really is.
So shady.
And that's the other thing. Emu Tequila just said that that Epic is
using... Are they just like prepping for a lawsuit here or something? Or?
There's not really a lawsuit there. But they were really concerned about... I forgot to mention this. Epic is using the name PUBG in their advertising for the Fortnite expansion. So like, hey, PUBG players, or like, hey, our game is really like PUBG. And it's just like, wow.
Yeah, that is concerning.
Yeah, for sure. So maybe it's tough though. Cause like if you sue them and they provide you with your engine and they don't like you anymore, if they yank the licensing rights to that, I know they're not supposed to do anything like that. But what if they like they could do a ton of things with it? It's not good. I'm surprised they're poking the beehive at all. This is kind of like, know. It's rough, right?
I think, well, they got a lot of bargaining power because it's a very popular game, yeah, and it's making Epic a lot of money
for sure.
But I think, I don't know. I think you could come out with a game exactly like PUBG and call it something else, and no one's going to play it just because PUBG has already established itself as the go-to Battle Royale game.
Right. But not the go-to Bobby game, that's for sure.
Nope. Definitely not my go-to game.
All right. And then speaking of news, beyond that, Overwatch competitive play is now going to implement permanent bans. So if you thought a VAC ban sucked, which it really does suck, now with Overwatch starting September 27th, it's basically three strikes and you're out for good. There's no way to, on your account, be able to get back into competitive mode and play. And it's not like within one season. If you get a derogatory mark, it could be spread out. But there's different severities of violations. And I think it's, I forgot how severe the violation has to be. Because you get certain marks on your account. Some of them add up to a ban, and then some of them do not. Leaving early or kicked is one of those things that might get you banned for good if you do it way too much.
So a permanent ban. I saw some talk on the HOTS forums on Reddit about this because they were like, you know, should we have this in our game too? But let me understand this. So if they get three seasonal bans, they're out for good. But how do you get a seasonal ban? Is it for misbehaving or is it for like hacking or cheating?
I'm pretty sure it's probably all of the above. In this article, does it state, one second here.
It says different
yeah.
amounts. So I'm sure if you're being toxic, that's like yeah. one strike. But being hacking has got to be three strikes. You could, if you hack and they find this stuff on your computer, you should just be
permanently
gone.
Banned.
Yeah, for sure.
Regardless.
Yeah, regardless.
So it's it doesn't specify in detail what can lead up to a ban. But I'm sure if you looked at their, like, there's probably a list of potential violations that you can have. Mm-hmm. And as they accumulate, your access to competitive play will be locked for an increasingly amount of time for more penalties. And I mean, for more violations.
And then ultimately.
And then ultimately you get banned for good. But basically it's saying three or more, and you may be permanently banned. So I think it's honestly still some stretch room there.
Yeah.
It's not three and then you're out. It's at least three and then they'll consider you for a permanent ban. I'm pretty sure this is all case by case as well.
You ever think about playing Overwatch, Bobby, at all, ever?
Sometimes. You know, the last time that I thought about it, I jumped in and I didn't even make it through one game. I was just like, over.
I still think Overwatch is that game where so many people jumped on. Like, if someone's not on the PUBG bandwagon, but they're still playing Overwatch, it's a good game to reconnect with.
It's a great game. The kids still love it. I mean, it's really popular.
It's a great game to reconnect with people who originally bought the game and still have the power.
I feel like I'm not hearing anything of their esports side. Like, you never hear any headlines on Overwatch stuff.
Yeah, well, I hope that's not the case, considering their new stadium coming out.
That's
true. They're starting up the league thing, and I'm sure it'll be big at BlizzCon.
So that's the thing, I guess. They're working up towards it.
Yeah. All right, a little piece of news I wanted to bring up here. I thought this was funny. So South Park, the Fractured But Whole, they have a part of the game that you can watch on YouTube where they are poking fun at Kanye West game. Do you guys remember when Kanye West, I think this was over a year ago, Kanye West announced that he was going to make a game based on his mom getting to heaven?
Wow.
Have you seen this video?
Oh, I did not know that. No.
Okay. After the podcast, I'll show you guys the video. It's just kind of hilarious the way it played out. All right. We got it up here. And well, that's the South Park video. But the original video was Kanye West at some sort of, I don't know, promotional thing. Huge crowd there. And he shows him. He's like, I'm going to show you. We're working on a video game. It's about my mom going to heaven. He plays a quick video of it. And it doesn't look that great. And the applause is kind of mediocre. And then he's like, I don't think you guys understand how hard this is to make. Let me play it one more time. So he plays the thing one more time.
Wow.
It's a really awkward promotion of it. But it's so funny to me how when you have these like media moguls who want to do like everything, it's like, I got the number one album. I want to have a big movie. I want to have a cologne, you know? And for a while there, it was like, I want to have like 50 Cent. I remember said, I want to have the number one movie, album and video game all in the same year. And he obviously had a really successful music career. I think his movie did all right, even though it wasn't very good. But do you remember the game that he came out with?
No. Did it have the same name of the movie?
Bulletproof, right? Bulletproof. Yeah. It was the
same. I remember the game. I never played it, though.
It's always the stumbling block, right? This is always where everybody fucks up.
Yeah, because it doesn't translate. Like, you can go over to movies, I think, and like that kind of does well. You can manufacture a good movie. You cannot throw money at a video game and have it be like really good. Like, you have to have a name attached to it. You have to have some credibility, or you just have to have something unique, or it has to be good timing. Like,
by name, you mean somebody that's tried and true. Right.
Yeah. Not exactly. Yet. Like, either a big developer or like Battlefield. You could call it Battlefield 7, and it's like, oh, that's going to sell. It's just got Battlefield.
Right.
Title. Or you could be working in a movie theater and then create Stardew from nothing at all.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Like, but that dude had passion, not money. Yeah. Not that Kanye doesn't have passion about making this game.
Or making sure that
he has zero knowledge of making video games.
Just
has money.
What it takes to have a good
video game. The concept itself is very obscure. It's awkward, and it makes you uncomfortable thinking about playing a game where you send your mom to heaven. I wouldn't want to imagine the death of my own mother.
Last time I saw this face on you, you talked about the gays, so I need you to calm down.
It's a strange concept.
Rail against moms now.
Yeah, we'll be talking about gay fish.
Make a great movie, but do you want to play a video game? Like, video games are so different than other media that it's really hard for people to cross
what
over.
What is it? Why aren't there video game movies? Oh, you know what the highest grossing video game movie of all time is, guys?
What's that?
It's fucking
Spider-Man?
Lara Croft 2. Tomb Raider 2.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, not the.
But that's the thing. Lara Croft is a game-made movie. What's a movie-made game? Because Lara Croft is game-made movie.
Movie-made game. I guess. Oh, it's that one. Prince of Persia is probably the biggest one.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. We'll have to look up the numbers later. But this whole South Park parody was hilarious because, number one, they're bringing back the gay fish, which was one of the best South Park episodes.
Never ever. Seen it.
Do you haven't like seen the fish gay sticks? Fish?
Is oh that, my what gosh. Season is it?
No wonder why you didn't catch
song
on.
Too. Like, it's like a Kanye West song, but about a gay fish. It's all like auto-tuned. It's so funny, man. You got to watch that. It's like from a couple seasons ago. But they're bringing that back, and they play that whole thing out. I just cannot wait for this South Park game. I don't know. I like South Park. So maybe that's just me.
Man, Emu had some fucking coffee today, son.
Yeah, he's
God,
on
he is
the
on
Discord.
The ball.
Yeah, but these are all movies, sorry, games that were made into movies. Were there any games that were inspired by movies, movies first, that were actually decent?
So wait, it was a movie and then they turned it into a video game.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen very often, like successfully, because a lot of those games are just cookie cutter, like whatever the trend is, you know, like nowadays it might be battle royale or something.
Yeah, but
back then it was
one?
Like third person action RPG maybe. But
Alien yeah. is a good one. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, a lot of universe, like Star Wars, like not Star Trek, but like a lot of universes or whatever they call them now, where it's like a franchise or, you know, a theme that they
apply
to. Yeah,
that's true. Oh,
game.
Star
like,
Wars.
Yeah, there's
I think Star Wars would be the main
Star
one.
Games.
Star Wars would be the main one. In yeah. terms of quality games based on movies alone. All right. And we're moving on to...
Yeah. Hardware. So did you get a chance to check out the bloody B845R?
Yes. AKA the Rainbow Bright board. I actually got to plug in and play and use the bloody keyboard. And if you didn't know, you could get a discount at... off of bloody keyboards by using bloody DL, right? Or DL bloody? Mm-hmm. Amazon?
Yep.
Bloody
Amazon.com,
DL.
Use bloody DL during checkout.
Awesome. Well, I, as I mentioned, I tried out mouse and keyboard with Divinity and I used the bloody keyboard. Some of the things I try to highlight with this keyboard is that, it's got low latency and, for some reason, the clicking noise, it's got a longer longevity for the clicking noise. So if you really, that's probably why it's so damn loud. They're trying to sell the fact that it's a very clicky mechanical keyboard and you can hear it as much as you can feel it. And like typing on it, using it, it's great. But like the whole fact that the reduced latency, the latency in the keyboard itself, sure, it's reduced, but the latency in the human use of it was noticeable. Where like
it
for
harder to push down.
Well, no. As in the numpad on the left side.
Oh yeah.
Like when I moved my hand to hit tab, hit escape, anything on the left side, I am overextending myself.
Yeah.
Naturally, because
your peripheral vision.
My peripheral. Yeah. I see the keyboard and I'm reaching for the far end corner and touching the first keys to the left side. But here I'm overextending and I have to recalibrate my hand to not like hover over the numpad. So it's definitely a learning curve with this keyboard. No, this is not my first mechanical keyboard.
Was this too loud for you, Chi? What'd you say?
Uh-huh.
Was it too loud?
Yeah, it's definitely too loud. It's definitely too loud. And I actually use a mechanical keyboard. I use, I forgot the actual name, but it's an Osio keyboard right now. So with this one here, like, of course, the light options are pretty cool. There's actually one where it's got presets built into the keyboard. You don't have to worry about downloading software. And this one here, one of the presets for the light, it was a bird flying on my keyboard.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
I never saw that one.
Like a movement. On
it has
the
another one. It has another one too, where it's a ripple effect, where every key you push, a rainbow pops out of
that.
Oh,
I was wondering.
That was pretty
because
sweet.
My keyboard went black and I'm like, well,
yeah, that's
is it off or is it on?
Yeah.
And I didn't actually push a button. Yeah. So that's pretty cool. Like that. I honestly would not make this my main keyboard strictly because of the left side numpad. I am so sorry. If you had that on the right side, I'd love it. But the fact that it's on the left, it just completely fucks up my world.
Yep, me
Can't
too.
Can't do it.
Couldn't do it.
Couldn't do it.
So we're giving this keyboard away if anybody wants it. We'll talk about that next week, though.
Awesome.
All right. Did someone get a new mouse?
No, so I had this mouse for about a year. This is the most expensive mouse on the market. I was not happy with the user experience. It just came in a cardboard box, nothing fancy at all. No instruction manual, just like a mouse in a box. It was $114 or $117. I did love it, though. I do love it. It looks like the Batmobile. It's light as fuck. I bought it because it was wireless, but I never unplug it because the mouse is so light, I can't even feel the cord anyway. So it really doesn't affect me at all.
That's how my mouse feels, and I love it.
Yeah. But it just, this week, started to double click. Randomly. So on a single click, it'll double click. Doesn't sound like that bad of a thing, but it is horrible.
Is it the mouse or is it you?
It's definitely the,
I'm just kidding.
It's definitely the mouse. I went to some sort of site where it was like click tester or whatever. And, you know, I was definitely getting two clicks for one, which is not good for PUBG.
That's a huge problem. Yeah, but did it seem like it was a mechanical problem with the mouse or like something software related?
Well, I did a bunch, as much as I could. I mean, I went on the forums. Some people said that maybe, you know, it's just dusty and you have to spray it out. But I wasn't able to take, I don't want to like snap something off and then not be able to get my warranty. So I'll let you guys know how it goes with the getting replaced. I did call Logitech customer service and they got back to me like right away. But the girl that I talked to had no idea what I was talking about. And she couldn't get on the right page. She did not get on Windows 10 when she's trying to walk me through these things. It was kind of a shit show. I wasn't very happy with the thing. I hope I don't get her fired, but I'm going to get her an F on her customer survey response thing. It wasn't very good. But it's super disappointing because where it really fucking sucks is like highlighting text and shit like that. Oh, I mean, moving
fuck up everything. Yeah. Did you plug it into a different computer?
No, I've switched the slots. One of the things was move it from a 3.0 to a 2.0, which I did, and it didn't change anything. Mm-hmm. I really think it's a mechanical thing.
Do you have another mouse that you could use?
No.
Wow.
Yeah, sucks.
Yeah, that's an issue.
But I did get chicken dinners with this same issue. Like, sometimes that double tap is kind of good.
Yeah, and I've had mice that have done that before where it was manageable until I got my new mouse.
Yeah.
So
I'll see how that goes. I'll let you guys know how.
Apparently, Logitech G602 wireless mouse is on sale for $35.
Yeah, a lot of people have been buying that.
Yeah, it's a good mouse from what I hear. All right. I guess we'll move on to listener questions here. We've got quite a few of them, so we should get to that. All right. First one coming from Shadow Master. Question for the podcast tonight. What game did you buy that looked either beautiful and responsive, but when you actually played it, it felt like something from the 1998 era of PC gaming?
We had to think about this one.
Yeah, we really did. I had to do my homework on this one. I almost wanted to say Escape from Tarkov, but these guys rebutted my the idea of it. And then what else did I say that actually, I already forgot.
Conan.
Age of Conan, sorry. Yeah. Conan Exile, sorry, not Age of Conan. Yeah. So I played Conan Exile, which is a survival, it's very much like Ark. Open world survival game? And I played that. It moved like a game from like a generation before, but the graphics are pretty on point.
Mm.
You know, you could see the six pack abs
and the slongs. Yeah.
Yeah. Baby's arm and all.
It's famous for having naked people.
Yeah. But, I played it, very much early access. So that's probably why it was so honky, and almost a lot of early access games.
That's
feel
wonky,
like that
not honky, but
honky.
That's okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wonky. Okay. Local. I mean,
it is kind of honky. There's no black people in Samaria, I think. Right?
What?
Were there any people in that game at all?
My guy was black.
Oh, okay. Then there you go. I was going to go with Dead Island. Looked great. The trailer is fantastic. And it just did not deliver. Bobby liked it more than most people.
I didn't have any problems with it.
I didn't have any problems with it either.
There's a new version of it now that is getting terrible reviews.
Black Wake or something like that, right?
No,
or
it's an actual like
Black
remake of
like
it.
That too.
Like what do they call it when they redo a game? Not like a redux, but it's supposedly it's like a redone version of the game, but the exact same game, and everybody is complaining about it. Say they messed up all sorts of things. All the bugs are back.
Wow.
Yeah, it's...
Are they selling this thing, or you just get it if...
I saw it was on sale. It was on the front page. I was like, hey, I like Dead Island. But then after reading the reviews and looking into it, I found out it's the exact same game, but just worse. So, yeah, I have no interest in playing it. It's a redone version of the first Dead Island and Riptide. And I really enjoyed Riptide. I felt like Riptide, they fixed a lot of the end game problem stuff, and I didn't have any bugs or issues with it. I don't know. If I had to think of an answer for this question, I cannot remember the game, but it was the first game that I had played. It was right when Rust and all these other really popular open world survival games were coming out. But there was one that we played. It was like a single word. It was like a short word too. I cannot remember the name of it, but it looked great in screenshots. And then when we actually played it and saw everything in motion, it just did not come together. It looked horrible.
I think I know what you're... No, I'm sorry. I don't know.
No?
I don't know. It was an open world game.
It was an open world game. It had like one map and there were monsters in it, which was the cool part. Me, Emilio, Chad, and Nick, we all played it together for a little while and we actually had a pretty good time with it. And you would like group up with other people and there were like objectives to actually go and do stuff.
God, I don't remember this at all, man. I want to. It sounds awesome.
Vermintide.
There was like a giant monster worm. There were like these dark shadow characters that came out. Like there were actual people in the world that you had to kill. One of them was like this huge, huge like monster. And then there was like a chest that was beeping that we had to transport back. I don't know. I'll find out what it is one day. But regardless, that was the first game that I played that I really saw this disparity between the screenshot and the game in motion. And ever since then, I've been seeing this in a lot of games. And Escape from Tarkov was kind of one of those games. Looked beautiful. And Emu Killer saying I either had an acid trip or these guys were there but didn't know. No, I definitely have the clearest memory of all, and it's not uncommon for these guys to forget all about it. But...
Huh?
There was another game that I can't remember the name of, too, that I wish I could remember. There's a few games that are just lost to the annals of time. But I don't know. Escape from Tarkov, too, was like this game that looked so beautiful in screenshots. Then when we actually played it, it wasn't that great. But I still felt like that game was still kind of playable. It's just the whole being able to switch sides was kind of an issue for me.
Now I remember what it is.
You do.
And there's other groups of people that you could run into and you'd fight it out. Other players, right? It was very other world.
Yeah, it took place in like post-apocalyptic or like futuristic kind of, and I don't know.
Damn it.
One of these days it'll come back. If I had a smaller game library, I could probably look it up easily, but that's not happening. All right, next question. Between HOTS and League, which is easier for beginners?
That's another one from Shadow Master.
For beginners, I say start with League only because it teaches you the best fundamentals to bring on to other MOBAs. HOTS will teach you things that aren't really relative to other MOBAs.
Yeah, see, that's
League
a tough question to
is
answer.
Like League will teach you all the bare essentials that will translate to any other MOBA that you play. It may not be the most ABC of all like MOBA games, but it'll teach you the rules of all MOBA games.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people would immediately say HOTS is an easier game to learn, but I kind of disagree with that because, especially now that I've started to play both more, first of all, HOTS has 11 different maps. Is it 11? It might be more, it might be a little less, but it has around 10 maps. And that game is really hard for people to understand.
Like
the whole objective, going to objectives, what do these objectives do? Where should I be as a player? Like that is ingrained in League. You queue up as a solo top laner.
And when you're
League.
Fucking up or when something's not like going right, you can it's very obvious. You could tell something's off. Whereas in HOTS, I feel like you could be losing and I can't even tell why because I'm not dying at all. So, or I'm not seeing turrets fall down. Like in League and any other MOBA, you know, a turret goes down. That's a red flag. In HOTS, I'm just like, what? What?
Yeah,
somebody shot a cannon? What?
It's really
like,
hard
what's
to tell
happening?
What's going on
it's more map based than it is actual like I know the team comp. It's all encompassing. I feel like if you want to learn the rules, you know, start with League, But don't start with hots and then try to transition and then actually have a lot of it make sense, I feel like. Maybe.
I disagree. I think once hots covers the basics of what pushing lanes and...
But you don't get lassoing and there's no turrets.
I think it's part of a community thing too. League has been around for a while. Everybody knows the best way to play League and what your role is. In HOTS, that is so vague.
Yeah.
What you're supposed to be doing right now as a player. Are you supposed to be getting a camp? Are you supposed to be going to the objective? Are you supposed to be clearing lanes? Like, that is all very, very difficult for people to figure out even later into the game. People that I play with, particularly in quick match, like, they do not know what they should be doing, and they've got thousands of games played. Not only that, like, the inventory thing, the store is brought up a lot. And that's kind of a weird argument, because the store is always the same no matter what champ you play in League of Legends. In Heroes of the Storm, you have a completely different toolkit that you have to pick from for every single character, which makes it very difficult to, first of all, learn the names of everything and, like, what you should be getting. Like, when I have friends that are new to the game, they're like, okay, what should I get at level 4? And I'm like, okay, level 4, you're on Chen. What do they have at level 4? What's the one that does this or that? Okay, take that one. Mm-hmm. You know, like, with League of Legends, it's like one shop. You just memorize everything, and, you know, everybody has access to that same store. So there's an argument to be made that it's a little more confusing. You know, every character has its own store in Heroes of the Storm. So I don't know. Maybe Heroes of the Storm is a little easier to learn, like, if you're playing with very new players, but it is definitely harder to master in some ways. Like, I just don't think there's very good players in that game compared to, like, League. You go into League, I'm playing with, like, new players, and they know what the fuck to do. They're just, like, on top of it. They're like, okay, I'm solo top. All right.
Yeah.
See, I feel like it translates better between games. Like, it's more true to the generic MOBA setup. Yeah.
If you learn League, you can play any MOBA. If you play HOTS, you won't be able to play every MOBA.
Yeah.
Right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Right?
I think League's
I get it, starting, but right? As far as, like, just starting out, I think League is pretty, I don't know.
I mean, League has ARAM, and you can learn a lot just playing ARAM.
You can
ARAM.
Learn your characters a lot. And the most important game, or the most important thing to learn in any of these MOBAs is just mechanical skill. So, you know.
Is there ARAM in HOTS, Bobby?
Yeah. Well, they don't have it consistently. Sometimes it's a brawl. They do have an ARAM map you can play in customs, and a lot of people want that to be a consistent thing. But... yeah, I don't know. I kind of get sick of ARAM, so I don't really care if they put it in long term. Mm-hmm. But it's a great way to learn heroes and team fighting. All right, next question. Bill the Heel asks, all right, we got a bit of a scenario here. let me just read it here. You just woke up on the floor of your shower with no recollection of what happened. A man comes into said shower and puts a gun to your head. He says, if you don't give a great PC headphone recommendation in 5 seconds, he's pulling the trigger. What do you say?
HyperCloud X. HyperCloud X.
Mine is like, anything Logitech, dude. Just anything Logitech, you know? It's like, shit, even a Logitech headset from Walmart will do you good. Just go get it.
Now, what else do you want from me? I'll do anything.
PC gaming headphone. Oh, my God.
I'm already naked.
Bobby, you're dead.
I'm dead? No, I would
look. It's been 5 seconds.
Yeah. I would say, in the next 5 seconds, I would say, like, hey, dude, you better have a seat, because this is going to take a while. Or you just look him right back in the eye, look him dead in the eye, and you say, fucking do it.
I will not choose a headphone. Boom. At least it's easy cleanup. You're already in the shower.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bobby goes down easy.
We all know that there's no, or at least my opinion on the PC gaming headphones, there's really no good ones. They're all little plastic Tonka toys that you have to replace every year if you're going to go that route.
I like mine.
Yeah, except we can never hear you, dude. Like, for 5 seconds, we can hear you, and then it's always like, hello, hello? You always get quiet. Is that thing sliding
off your
head, or what?
You know
what?
When it comes to, like, reliability, I will go with Logitech. Like, I've tried a lot of different headphones, and yes, they all may suck, but when it comes to just plug in and play, like, Logitech in terms of, like, sound and clarity, you can't go wrong. Like, high-end or low-end, Logitech is my winner.
Yeah, I like them for all other peripherals, But like I said, my HyperCloud X, happy with them.
I'm not even using them.
And you know what really...
But I will vouch for them.
What extends the lifetime, I think, is getting a headphone stand or a hook. It really does. Because them laying... They're this really weird shaped thing. It doesn't really fit anywhere. So if you put it on the ground, it's almost doing harm to itself. Like Chad said, like his was breaking itself.
Well,
just under
who puts
its own
their
weight.
Headphones on the ground?
Where else would you put them if you don't have a
on
hook?
The desk.
I took very good care of my... We should skip into the next question here because it is directly related. Stax asks, any of you guys ever bought a piece of hardware that you regretted purchasing?
Oh,
absolutely.
MG.
The Logitech G930X, which I took extremely good care of. Looked mint condition. And I know this because I would go... Everyone had this headset. I would go over to like someone else's place and I would see theirs and it was just beat to shit. And mine was... I took such good care of it, but it still had so many issues. And I hardly know. We had one listener who said, oh, mine were great. But other than that, like everyone I know that has had this headset has had issues with it.
I've had bad hardware as many as actually more like double the bad hardware, but it like almost equivalent to the bad hookups I've had.
Damn.
Yeah, it's just bad. It's like almost and it's immediate, like immediate remorse about the purchase. And it's
which one
like,
stands out?
Huh?
Which one stands out?
Let's see. Probably a headset. And it was the Razer. I don't know how to pronounce it. Karachas? Or it's...
Karachis?
I don't know, but...
I think that's an O, right? Urachis?
I don't know. Something. It's a Razer headset. I hate that piece of shit. Like, I didn't even wait for it to break. I probably broke it. And probably snapped it by throwing it across the room. And then I didn't actually do that, but I wanted to. Mm. And then, yeah, that like staple, the worst headset I've ever used.
I bought the Logitech, like their baseline keyboard. And it said all these things about gaming and stuff. And this thing showed up and it was just a keyboard. It might as well be a Microsoft keyboard. Like there's nothing special about it or gaming. Well, I guess it had these preset macro things, but I don't use those.
Back in the day, though, that's all you had, basic keyboards. And I got as much work done with the basic keyboard as I do with a fancy keyboard now. Like, I feel like with keyboards now, there's a lot of, it's almost like, you know, upgrades in a car where it's like, a car will get you from point A to point B, just as any basic keyboard. But they're like, you need all these little features to really, like, you know, turn it into a joyride of your dreams.
The Razors are... very like Kardashians. They look great, but there's not much substance there. I feel like it's just made for looks.
And then the name. The name is the brand. I mean, the brand. They sell the name more than anything else.
Yeah, for sure.
Hmm. All right, next question. Fastidious asks, zip ties or super glue and why?
Zip ties, because you can't hold your captives with super glue.
I like both. I keep both around handy.
I haven't used super glue in years.
I don't use super glue.
Zip ties is good for computer components.
Yeah,
too.
I use zip ties for anything PC related. I use super glue for everything else. Wow. I had a nail fall off and I put super glue. I super glued it back on.
And if I can do what Bobby did last week and just like not answer and go with something completely different, Gorilla Tape is the shit. It's like this black duct tape. It's so fucking strong. I've fixed and just put together things better than before they broke. It's
amazing. The problem
amazing.
With Gorilla Tape is that you need a pair of scissors. That has to be sold in a pack.
I tear it with my hands because I'm strong as
fuck. What?
Yeah.
That's like ripping a phone book in half.
Strong as fuck. Hashtag strong as fuck. Bobby?
Probably zip ties. Super glue, not that super. No. I've had super glue fail on me many a times, and zip ties will fix just about anything.
We just had a super glue
like
incident.
I do like a hot glue gun. I don't know if any of you guys have ever used a hot glue gun.
In like craft school.
But that, it works.
Like I went to craft school.
Too.
I don't even know what that means. Crafts in school is what I meant.
All right. Next question. Snicker C asks, who killed Chad and why?
If I were going to say exactly what it was probably legal stuff. Legal stuff is what killed Chad. He's not able to talk here because of things that he signed that had words on him. So that's probably the best answer I could give you. He was killed by the law.
He fought the law and the law won.
Yeah.
All right.
That should be a song.
All right. Rubbernuts asks, what suggestions do you guys have to keep the cost down on an already budget blown out expensive wedding without the bride realizing she's marrying a cheap shit?
Well, you asking that, you're saying that you already spent a bunch?
Rubbernuts, haven't you like discovered Pinterest?
There's a bunch of craft stuff. He's not going to do any of that. The easiest thing to do is, I think, this is coming from somebody who's never been married, but I've been a best man 3 times because I'm fucking the best man. But anyway, and I've been to a shit ton of weddings. Destination wedding is the way to go. If people go, sweet. If they don't go, sweet. It's on them either way. If they have the time, it forces people to go on vacation. Everybody's happy. And then when you get there, you're in a third world country, if you want to save money, and you pay a fraction of where you're going to pay anywhere else. It's just, it's a no-brainer, I think.
Never been married, so I wouldn't know. Emu Killer's got a bunch of great tips in here. He says, don't get married on a Saturday. Take your time. Get married right at the end of the off-season. So there's an off-season for weddings?
Yeah, it's right after the divorce season. You don't know about this? I don't know this either.
I like tip number 5 by Emo Killer. Rent a house for the wedding and for lodging. If I ever get married, I want to do something like that.
Yeah, you can Airbnb a nice place and a bunch of people can stay there. That'd be way better.
Yeah, that's what I would want to do.
Yeah, but we should note that Rubbernuts is Australian and everything is expensive in Australia.
Yeah.
Like, ridiculously expensive.
And he's out in the sticks, too, so I don't know if it's more to import.
Being a woman, having planned plenty of being involved in weddings and being involved in plenty of baby showers, DIY, do it yourself. It's going to take more time, but it's going to save you a lot more money.
A lot of money.
A lot of money. And Pinterest is like the holy grail of wedding planning. So if you've never been to Pinterest and just searched your way, like even searching budget wedding, you'll find everything you need in a neat little article made by some mom blogger that's going to like blow your mind and open all these different avenues of like ways to host any type of event.
We said a bunch of shit right now, but he also said, how do you keep it from her caring? If she's with you, she don't care about money, dude. That's obvious, I guess. Moving on.
No, she's a woman and probably does care. I'm just kidding.
And Lab Monkey's answer, this is the first ever listener answer. It was Bobby, who killed Chad and why? It was Bobby in the server room with a wild dark shelf ape shaped dildo. So
dark shelf or elf?
Elf. Dark elf shaped dildo. I thought that was funny.
So the dildo is shaped like a dark elf.
Yes, and you killed Chad with it.
That's right. All right.
Yeah. In the server room.
Sounds legit.
I don't know when we can say we've been successful, but definitely if we get to the point where we have a server room, we've made it, right?
Yeah, what would we do with the server room?
Fuck if I know, Bobby. I'm not the numbers guy.
That's hilarious.
All right. Emu Killer asks, what's your favorite thing about the new Divinity?
I haven't played it much, for me, it's the graphics, probably.
Graphics?
Yeah, I think it's fucking beautiful. It's gorgeous. The spell effects are amazing.
Yeah, it's hard for me to pick
4-player co-op, simple as that. Thank you for opening up more people to play with me. That's basically my new favorite thing.
Yeah.
Babo?
I don't know. Like, I haven't found one thing about this game that I'm just like, this alone is just so much better than all the other things. It's like, every little thing is better. Like, than the first one. It's a perfect sequel in every way.
By the way, I've seen a lot of comedy in my game. I know you said it was a little lackluster in terms of like comedic value.
Well, no, not lackluster. He just said less than the first one.
Yeah, but at that point I hadn't played as much. And I mentioned on the Discord earlier this week that as I'm playing more, I'm seeing more and more of the comedy.
Yeah.
And also I do skip a lot of dialogue, so I'm probably missing a lot.
Yeah.
But you got to remember that I played like over 100 hours of the first Divinity. So like,
did you play with an origin character? At all?
No, I didn't do an origin character.
So origin characters help a lot too with the comedic value.
Yeah, it's a lot more story.
Especially Fane. I like Fane a lot.
Yeah, there's just so much to this game, so to make that call might be a little premature. All right, Imperial Arm asks, have you guys ever tried Escape from Tarkov? If so, what do you think?
Well, I played it, and I tried to explain it on the podcast, and she and I did not understand each other for about 15 minutes, and then we all played it, and then we came back. And I think generally we liked the game. There's nothing wrong with it.
But we all had our frustrations.
Yeah, and it didn't hold up to the screenshots either. The graphics weren't up to what we thought it would look like once you start playing it.
Yeah.
But it is a very intense game.
They did a lot of new things with it that others in the same genre hadn't done. I like that. But my main issue was not being able to switch sides. But apparently you can do that now. That is in the game.
Yeah, they're still...
If I were going to...
Still patching everything.
Try to tie this up in a bow one more time. It feels like PUBG when you get to the top 12. Like, it goes straight to the intensity. It's that level of intensity. And your character is persistent. So whatever you actually keep or make or progress, you keep for subsequent games.
I had fun, but it was very wonky. And that took away away from the fun.
I didn't like the shooting either.
Yeah, it
some
took
people
away
really
from the
like
fun.
It.
Everybody looked the same. The environment was a little bit more close quarters. Mm-hmm.
For the factory, there are big
ones.
For
the factory, when I played that other map, the beach one,
yeah,
spread out,
way more spread out. But then it was a lot of time of running around, not really knowing how many people are out there. You know, how many are left? Like you said, it was when it's like never ending.
Persistent
gameplay. So I had fun, and I given enough time to say, like, hey, I might come back, but I have absolutely no urgency to go back anytime soon.
I still have it installed. I just haven't played it. Mm-hmm. I've thought about it, though.
Yeah. Successor One asks, do you guys have any tattoos?
No.
No.
Neither is Chad.
No, Chad doesn't. Yeah. So, again, I'm the only one with guns and a tattoo.
He's dangerous. He's the guy behind the guy that you're not so sure
about.
Are
you going to elaborate on this tattoo or just say yes?
I think I've seen it, actually.
It's on my left shoulder. It's tribal. There's a heart in it, and there's some wings. There's a
have I ever
oh,
seen
so
it?
It has every
Bobby,
single...
Bobby, can I see it?
Yeah, there you go.
Whoa. Yeah. What?
I can't see
Wait, you're not even showing us.
I had it. I think I got this done when I was like 18.
Yeah.
So it's a tattoo.
So it has every tattoo trope in it.
I've just never actually seen it. I'm going to take a photo and we should repost that. So.
Okay.
Looks like it needs to be touched up, Bobby. It looks like I splatted and all, like I got a black octopus and just slapped it on you.
No, it looks cool.
Well, it's, you know, it's weird looking tribal, but this was... You know, I got it when I was 18. Obviously, my skin has grown since then. So, it probably doesn't look that great. And, you know, you make a lot of bad decisions when you're 18.
Yeah.
But I don't really care about my body so much anymore. For a while, I was just like, fuck. I wish I would have got something different. But now I'm just like, fuck it. I'm going to be dead in another 30 years probably. So, who cares? Just ride it out.
Emu did post something about Tarkov. The amount, it's almost like real guns. Every single thing can be modded immensely. Mm-hmm. So for gun nuts, this is the game for you.
Yeah. But the thing is, you can lose that gun so easily.
Yeah.
But with all of these particular mods, does it really make the gunplay in this game much better?
I like I said, I didn't like the shooting to begin with. I doubt that. Who knows?
The subtle intricacies are going to turn the game around for me.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Final question coming from Heisenballs. I want options, ultra wide screen or high refresh. Oh, I want opinions. Ultra widescreen or high refresh rate?
If you listen to my review of my ultra wide, it's a game changer. It's the best thing. It's the best up. I went from a 970 to a 1080 Ti, and it wasn't as impressive as going to widescreen or to ultra wide. For me, I would say ultra wide. But that said, I haven't played like on a crazy fast refresh rate either. So
I haven't tried either. So I can't. I don't have an opinion.
Yeah, you what? You don't have either one?
No.
What is even considered high refresh rate?
Like I don't know. I'm at 100 right now.
Considered the standard. I don't know. Once I made the jump to 120 on refresh rate, I can never go back. Yeah, anything over, Linus says, anything over 100 hertz refresh isn't noticeable. Yeah, maybe that's the cutoff. I cannot go back to 60 hertz, I'll tell you that right now. Like, that is a necessity on any monitor that I will ever purchase as my main monitor. The refresh rate cannot be 60 hertz. And the one I have right now, I think, is like, 140 or something like that. But, you know, it's like TVs. Once you get past a certain point, it's not that noticeable.
Oh, the freebie monitor I got from you. That's my secondary monitor, but what's the refresh rate on that?
Probably not great. Mm. Yeah. But if it's your secondary monitor, it's not that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. When I think I've gone over this before, but with monitors, got to have a high refresh rate, and it's got to be an IPS or something similar. It cannot be a TN panel. I cannot do TN panels anymore. Just so I don't know.
We're too fancy for that.
It's not even a matter of taste. It's like going from a spinning disk hard drive to an SSD.
Yeah.
Once you make that change, you don't go back.
You
know, for me, that's how I feel about monitors. The widescreen, I haven't actually used yet. So I don't know. I have yet to have an opinion on that.
Cool. So next week, what's going on?
Probably more Divinity 2. I'm hoping to play a lot more Heroes of the Storm. They just announced a new map, and also Junkrat and Anna will be coming to the game.
So basically all the Overwatch characters.
They're trying to like really push the Overwatch thing right now.
Yeah.
Like, are they still using loot boxes special skins?
Like cross promotion?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's like a Russian skin, because the new map is Volskaya Industries, which is like Zarya's home base or something, right?
And yeah, with those flying platforms and stuff.
Yeah, and there's like moving belts and shit. It looks wacky as hell. Like, I don't know if I'm going to like it. But so one of the characters, Varian, has like a Russian outfit. Looks pretty sick, but... Yeah,
it's pretty hard to say, Bobby, but would you rather a new character or a new map if you had your choice?
I think they have too many maps already. And they haven't had a good map since Towers of Doom, in my opinion. Hanamura was a failure. They got taken out of the game to get reworked. Yeah.
Why?
Because it was so bad, nobody liked it, and there were some really big problems with it, like some really big issues with it.
Wow. Damn.
It just did not
swing and a miss.
So a lot of the people... That's kind of why I like League. It's one map, and it's a traditional MOBA map. And some of the best maps that people like in Heroes of the Storm are the traditional three-lane maps. And they've been just kind of experimenting with real weird stuff lately, and I don't think it's been going well.
But experimentation is good, you know?
No, it is. It's good to try.
Can't make an omelet.
And that's what they said when they took out Hanamura. They said, you know, we will continue to just try weird things and new things and see what sticks and what works well and what doesn't. And you learn more from your mistakes than you do from the things that go right. So, yeah.
Looking from the outside, that's the most impressive thing to me about HOTS. It's just, you know, let's try it. See what happens.
Yeah, like Cho'Gall.
We're Blizzard.
Cho'Gall,
yeah. What the fuck?
Yeah. Why the fuck not? We're Blizzard.
Chi?
Divinity 2.
Yeah. And so I'm not going to say Divinity. I'm going to try to get away from PUBG. I'm going to go back. I'm going to try to play some indie titles and try to there was a time where we would all come with like different little small games and I feel like we're getting away from that. So I'm going to try, maybe I'll play some Cuphead and maybe I will play some, Oregon Trail. So I want to play a bunch of little games this week.
That's awesome.
Hopefully I will.
I've got one massive game to work around. So I'm going to stick to it.
Yeah, and I don't fault you for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fantastic game. If Mini Del Macho does go through that and makes a dungeon for us, it'd be fantastic to run through. Maybe you, Max, me, and Bobby.
I'm looking forward to that, doing that, seeing that side of Divinity.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, you can catch us at dlgaming.net. That is our website. You can get to all the links there, Twitter, our Steam group, our Discord. Be part of the conversation. We usually record Sundays around 1 o'clock. So if you want to listen live, that's the place to do it.
Speaking for Bobby, Chi, and myself, we're going to be playing Titinity Original Sin next week. All right. Bye, everybody.